PNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
How's it going today?
Man, going very well. And I think I'm going to give you a lead on a potential trade that I've concocted in my head.
Okay.
So Jeff Hafley, the head coach of the Dolphins, was talking about their wide receivers. And he said, no block, no rock. Do you think that means they're going to trade for Jonathan Mingo, who could be the greatest blocking wide receiver of all time?
He made an impression on a lot of people, right?
Yes, he absolutely did.
Well, it was about time he made an impression, by the way.
Oh, man. That is
kind of true.
That is very true. Where do you stand at the moment in terms of, let's just say, the possibility of carrying six wide receivers with, obviously, Mingo and Brown as part of that group versus going short on other positions?
Yeah, I think that's a conversation that they're going to have, because I think that, Mingo has stepped up, and it's not just in a preseason game. His practices have improved. You're starting to notice that he's on the field. And like last year, he just seemed to always disappear, but all of a sudden, and I had to check myself, too. I saw 81 run a nice route and catch the ball, and who's that? Oh, yeah, that's Mingo, right? And so, yeah, I think I had kept saying that they would keep five receivers, and if somebody steps up, he might force them to keep six, and I think it's a realistic thought. Now, let's see what happens going forward. Today will be another really good test with the Saints coming in for the scrimmage. You're playing against first teamers, right?
Right.
And you're playing your first teamers in this controlled practice. They're not putting guys on the ground, but it'll be physical and it'll get chippy. And this will be the best work for the Cowboys until they play the season opener. Just the fact that it's very competitive when you scrimmage against another team. And let's see what these guys do. The one thing that I thought was encouraging about Cam Brown is we've seen this in practice for several weeks. Number six, we know who that is. Well, let's see what happens when the lights come on. Well, the lights came on and he played even better. So consistency now for him will be the big factor of making this roster as an undrafted rookie free agent.
Let's stick there at receiver then, Mickey. What has the usage been like for Turpin so far in camp as opposed to other times you've seen him in camp?
Yeah, he had a really good day yesterday. They have set things they want to use him for. It depends on, whatever the situation is. I think he's more of a situational player. He's not going to be a guy that's going to end up with, 40, 50 catches in a season. But don't mistake his speed, all right? And nobody else in this receiver corps has that type of speed. And I think when you're like the fourth receiver or the guy that sometimes gets first team snaps or is going to get out there in the three receiver set, there's room for a guy that has speed like that, and he shows it usually in practice. Yesterday he went on a hash route down the middle and he split the safeties, right? And they were, and if I remember correctly, they were the first team safeties, and he just split them because they didn't recognize his speed coming at him. So I keep hearing that people are like, well, I don't know about Turpin. It's not volume, it's production when you use him. And I just think that they need that speed on this team.
Yeah, that's kind of the – I've been one of those people that's been throughout. I'm like, hey, man, let's push him more on that. But I'm just interested – but like you just said, though, don't expect 40. You know, just expect that whenever he gets that opportunity, it could be a very big play and something explosive.
And then every time he touches the ball on special teams, if they can get these special teams to play better, right?
Mm.
That was a poor performance, I thought, against Seattle. And I thought that it was poor performance last year, too. The blocking, not very good. There were, and Schottenheimer's made reference to that about, you know, if you're going to see his speed, he needs some opportunities, meaning how about opening up some holes? And I think that was lacking last year. And I thought the coverage was lacking last year, too. So some of the... You know, now we're talking about, I'll go back to what just Kevin said about Mingo. They need better players on special teams,
yeah.
More productive players, right? And maybe that'll change how they produce. So some of this roster could depend on what they do on special teams. You know, they've kept C.J. Goodwin around for so long just because of his special teams. Well, now who's replacing him? And so I think, you know, Maris Leofau bringing in Von Miller, kind of, you know, it's getting crowded at the edge rushing position.
Yes.
And that's where they move Leofau, but he's probably one of their best special teams player. So can he make the team because of that? And so that's why when you get to the juggling act and the 53, there's other conversations just in not about position, but get me some good special teams players to help out.
Okay, well, then let me ask you, if you were Mickey the general manager, would you keep somebody like Leofau, knowing that it looks like he's on the outside looking in from a positional standpoint, but he's very good special teams-wise? Would you sacrifice that, you know, otherwise positional depth for somebody like him?
I would have to very seriously consider that. And the fact that not just special teams, but he's somewhat versatile on defense, right? Because he was a linebacker, right? Now you moved him to an edge in the 3-4, and he can do that for you also. So I think he's a versatile chess piece on defense, and you know, a really good locker room guy, and a really good player that, you know, not only can play the run, but he also you know, gives you some pass rush ability, not like a proven edge rusher, but a guy that can chip in and help you as in a depth situation. So, yeah, I think that has to be a consideration. Now, again, you have to go short somewhere else. Do you have the luxury to keep three quarterbacks? You know, that's something that's got to be decided yet. Because I would think because Milton has shown limited production in a season. Now, that good performance on Saturday, right? That was encouraging. But can you get him through waivers and put him on the practice squad? Can you get Howell through waivers and put him on the practice squad? He was inactive all last year with Philadelphia, but they traded for him. So that's going to be another, you know, huge decision, because do I need to keep three or can I get by with two? And if it's two, who is it? And that's yet to be decided.
Mickey, how many videos do you plan on posting today from the joint practice now that we're in Oxnard and not in L.A.?
And we can do that, right?
Yeah. Is that the plan?
If Dustin Hoffman shows up, I'll do a video.
There we go. Right. This time, will you talk to him, though?
And not choke, right? Yeah.
You know, since you were talking about the pass rush, I wanted to get your thoughts some more about the contributions, or what people are saying about the contributions of B.T. Jordan, because that's somebody who I know has history with Von Miller, and we've heard from some offensive linemen how he has kind of helped them sharpen up their game as well.
Yeah, I think he's a valuable member of this coaching staff. Now, they consider him a consultant, right?
Okay.
But he's a full-time consultant. I mean, he's been here the whole training camp. And, you know, Jerry made the reference to him that, you know, his recommendation on Von Miller caught everybody's attention because he had been working with him in the offseason and could vouch to say, hey, He's 37, but he's still got skills. He's still got speed, and he wants to play football. And so, I think it's been valuable, and the guys really like working with him. They feel like he's a valuable resource for them, not just in the off season, but now here during the season. And, you know, what was it just last year that the Broncos carried him, right? He was on their coaching staff. So he's got a lot of things going, because if you're definitely just a full-time coach, then you're not doing what you're doing with the business that you
right.
Came up with. So, yeah. Jerry didn't hesitate to point out the benefits of having him around and working with Von Miller, and knowing where Von Miller was in his career. And by the way, we're going to get a chance. They're doing an 11:45 press conference with Von today. He's finally signed the contract. No DocuSign in the NFL.
Right.
So he was physically here today to sign it. So it's official. And, you know, one of the thoughts I had, you know, you guys mentioned it yesterday, and I verified it, that the cap hit's going to be $5.5 million with a chance to make $7.5 million. They've got a little bit of a signing bonus in there for them, the guarantees. But this is an offshoot of the benefits that they have incurred by trading Micah Parsons.
Right.
If you think about it, you know, we know, you know, Kenny Clark, and but they had draft choices to trade for Quinnen Williams. They had cap space to restructure Quinnen Williams' contract when they did the extension to reduce his base salary this year to around 6 or 7 instead of $20 million. And so they had money here to kind of play with, that the Cowboys normally don't have salary cap money to gamble with, right? They can't just take a chance. Well, it was like, okay, for $5.5 million here, we can take a chance on a 37-year-old guy that had 9 sacks last year, oh, by the way. And I figured out sacks per game, he had a half a sack per game last year. So
I think we'd all take that this season.
Right? I mean, he would have led the team in sacks last year with 9, right? Mm. That was half more than what Clowney had, and Clowney didn't get to 8.5 until the last game, and he got 3 sacks, right? So you were able to just sort of lay a bet down there and say, okay, if I lose, well, okay, I can absorb that, which they couldn't do before. But if you win, you win big.
Now, sticking with kind of that theme, I know we're moving forward to the joint practice, but one more question about the preseason game. Did you feel like one of the winners coming out of that was also James Houston?
Yes, I think he reinforced some of the things that he can do, and he's another somewhat designated pass rusher, right?
Sure.
You know, his size on the edge, but when they're playing in a 3-4, okay, that edge, but the edge has got some heavyweights in the middle to help out against the run. So he's versatile enough that, yeah, I think they value what he can do. And there's going to be a really nice rotation there. I looked at Von Miller's snaps last year, and he averaged around 25 a game. So I'm thinking when they were thinking about doing this, it was like, well, what if he can play 15 to 20 snaps, keep him fresh, and keep him fresh going towards the end of the season, too? And that would be about right. And I think that's kind of what they've got in mind. He's not going to be like the starting guy out there playing 60 snaps. You don't want to do that. But you're in nickel so much that he can help be a very valuable piece if indeed he still has it at 30. Think about that, 37 years old. And he's finally going to play where he wanted to play all along, right?
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
This was kind of funny. I walked into the TV production room, and Roxanne Medina, who puts together our pregame shows during the preseason, she was looking for footage on Von Miller to use. She found the interview I did with him at the Senior Bowl in 2011.
Wow.
And the funny thing was, you know, we talked and whatever, and I finally, like, because I always hate that question. Anybody that's from the area, do you want to get drafted? Well, of course they want to get drafted, yes, by the Cowboys, right?
It does.
But I did it. I asked him, and he kind of smiled and said, well, yeah, whoever drafts me, that'll be fine, and ended up being Denver with the second pick, right? And it was like, okay, but, I'm sure you grew up watching the Cowboys. And I said, and he goes, yeah. He goes, you know what? I'm from Dallas. And I said, so you would like for the Cowboys to draft you? He goes, I'm from Dallas. And he made me laugh, right? I said, that was a great way to answer the question, right? So, I don't know how much we'll see of him in the preseason. Certainly not this week, right?
Sure.
But next week, and then that will kind of, he'll have to go through a ramp-up phase. But, just have him ready for September 13th, right?
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much, good sir. Enjoy the joint practice. We look forward to all those videos, and we will catch you tomorrow.
funny guy.
Mm-hmm. See you, Mick.
See you.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.
So he's saying that Vaughn's not going to go full bore today? He's not going to be in the joint practice? Why do we even sign him?
I do think, because I think the joint practice is going to start like a couple hours after that, I do think it would kick ass if he was like, I'm going to be in this practice today. I don't know if that's wise for his body.
He's like, I've been working on this. Steven and I had a deal for a while.
I mean, great. Again, I don't know. But that being said, the first video you get of him breaking through the line or cutting around the edge and getting a pressure or a sack is going to get 80 gajillion views.
First video is going to be him on the bands with Britt Brown. That's the first
that
video.
That is probably true. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, if the Dallas Cowboys' defensive changes pay off quickly and Dak remains healthy and productive, the 2026 team will be next on The Fan.
Okay, kids, fourth down and goal at the one for the Seattle's, who are down by 10 in the fourth quarter. Snap to Milrow. Looking, wants to throw. Holding. Sacked! No, he didn't. He got away from the sack, and then he was brought down.
Who he got away from?
Isaiah Land.
What a roller coaster of emotions against the Seattle's, which I did think was very funny. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If Dallas's defensive changes pay off quickly and Dak remains healthy and productive, the 2026 Cowboys will be what?
An NFC championship contender.
Ooh.
And by actually an NFC championship favorite.
Okay.
Not the favorite to win it, but a favorite to be in it.
Okay.
And quite honestly, that's the thing that you want the most out of this team, is for them to go an inch further. Obviously, Super Bowl is the goal. But to make a leap from the miserable defense they were last year to being a contender, you had to do the things the Cowboys did this offseason. Timing-wise, they went and got their defensive coordinator. They went and made sure they got players early so that they had a training camp with this team. They made sure they had mini camps, OTAs, together with this team. Now, Von Miller is a different breed for this. He's a hired mercenary, you know.
Man, I missed this, but somebody says Broadus has got time for everybody on Twitter today about Von Miller.
Oh, he does? Yeah. My expectation is I'm going to talk about it in a little bit.
Okay.
In C block.
Okay.
But he's a hired merchant of death, if you will.
Mm.
We'll see if he can still kill. But everything else was built very meticulously, knowing they still were hoping for growth from a couple spots, okay? Revel's one of those spots they're hoping for growth. Overshone's a spot they're hoping for growth. Winters is a spot they're hoping for
Agreed.
Growth. But the defensive front, they feel strongly about that. So,
can we stop on D. Winters for just 1 second? I'm really glad that you brought that up. In the past, does he not seem like a player that we would have to pin our hopes to? because they're like, yeah, we didn't really do Jack S, so I really hope that guy works out. Now it feels like, to a certain extent, maybe not an afterthought, but I kind of like that he's been talked about like sort of more of a depth piece, and I think that shows across the board that hopefully they have better defensive talent, like a lot better.
I think because Barham has now changed everybody's minds on how quickly he can develop. Again, the injury problem. Look, that could be three dudes that might just be dudes.
Sure.
Injury.
Oh, absolutely.
Injury can make Overshown just a dude.
100%.
Barham, we don't know. He could just be a dude. Winters could absolutely just be a guy. But at the moment, we're in this moment. We're thinking the highest hope for Overshown. And, oh my gosh, Barham could be ready to play at this level already.
Yeah.
And another one of those queen. You got a bunch of queen pieces you can move all over the board. That's nice. Winters, Kevin, he had a career high in tackles last year. He's in his third year. He's fast sideline to sideline, and it seems like he fits the defense.
And it feels like, not saying he's this is definitely,
he's part of a group more in my mind than he is the guy that we're just relying on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and does it feel like, as opposed to, let's just say somebody like Von Miller, he's much more likely to be an ascending player.
Yes. Yes, rather than a dude who's at the end of his career that you're like, man, I hope he doesn't get a calf injury.
Which is what we specialize
Eric
in here.
Kendricks, you know, like stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a really good point. Somebody who has a place to go rather than a place to fall to.
Not to say he'll go there, but you could see the logical trajectory.
He comes from a good defense anyway. I don't know if that was a throw-in dude, because they got a good player for their defense in return. And he comes to a place where he can be taught, and with a guy who is ready and willing to teach. So that's, and not just Parker, the whole coaching staff is evidently that way too. So that's an important factor. But the things that they put together this offseason for that defense, spending money on Jalen Thompson, all those things were done intentionally. And Kevin, I can't remember the last time I felt like they did things intentionally. And with purpose of, we have to fix this defense because that was garbage. Now, I expect regression offensively. Could they be better? Yes, they could.
Sure.
So if they're livened up by how good the defense is, then they could be that much better this season.
Can I throw this out? I think overall, you could see regression offensively and have a better offense. What I mean is, you were second last year in overall yardage. Let's say you tumble down the chart just a little bit to fifth, sixth, whatever, but you were also seventh in points. Let's say, and you were middle of the pack when it comes to scoring red zone touchdowns. Let's say you move up the ladder, red zone touchdowns, and all of a sudden you flip second in yards down to fifth or sixth, but you flip seventh in points per game up to third or fourth, where you did see a level of regression, but you're still a better offense in terms of what actually matters.
Yeah, so your special teams was able to give you better field position.
One would hope.
Your defense caused more turnovers that got you the ball in better field position.
It could be. Honestly,
I'll take those two things.
Absolutely. Honestly, it could be as simple as you don't stall out every single time at the 18-yard line or the 7-yard line, and Aubrey doesn't have to kick 80 million field goals.
Yeah, I'll take those things. I don't care about being the best at yards. I want to be the best at points.
Stupid.
Now, do I want to be the best at yards and points? Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do both of those. Yeah. Let's do Ben Johnson. I want to blow everybody out of the water, and I want to score the most points. I want to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So let's go be the best offense out there. But that thing, but what did he say? I want the highest scoring offense ever.
Yeah, I've never understood.
Not the highest yardage offense ever.
Yeah, obviously the offense was incredible. They had 485 yards. You're like, it's 21-20. What are you even talking about?
Yeah, so I think, Kevin, I expect that. Now, again, you're asking me to be optimistic.
That is the constraint here.
In this question, you said the defense turns out to be as productive as expected.
And it pays off quickly.
That could change a lot of things, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm giving this defense until week 8 before I start making decisions on it. But they could change my mind very fast. But then you also say Dak remains productive. If those two things happen, this team was right there last year, and they will be out in front with people chasing from behind.
All right, Alec, let me go to you on this, and then we can get some feedback, and I'm going to nerd out on some numbers for you. If Dallas's defensive changes pay off quickly and Dak remains healthy and productive, the 2026 Cowboys will be what?
A threat to the Rams.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not going to go as far as they will beat them or anything, but I do think that it's going to come down to the chess match of, we know that they're a lot more talented than this team, right? But if the defense looks the way we think it's going to, they can outplay that offense, especially if Puka Nacua is banged up. I know I'm getting way too theoretical here, but I think that they can line up with pretty much anybody if the communication holds up, if everybody stays healthy. And then Dak, we saw what a healthy year looks like for him last year with two true wide receiver weapons, a red zone threat of a tight end, and a real running game. You know, obviously the running back two situation needs to get figured out in a hurry if we want that offense to look as good as we hope. But I think they're a true, to what Corey said, they're an NFC championship threat. And I don't say that lightly. I mean threat when I say threat. I think they can upset some people if the defense is this good.
So I'm with you on that. What I wrote was the division winner and a true Super Bowl contender. So it kind of feels like we're all in the same-ish area.
Before you get there, Kevin, from the 858, okay, but the Rams still have to go through the Cardinals. Are the Cowboys actually going to be a real threat there? So,
see, I think the Rams would be so worn down from the Cardinals. And we need them to beat the Cardinals because Lord knows we can't do it.
Jalen Thompson said he's changing that
okay,
this year.
Okay, that's right.
Okay, good. Good.
Thanks to him.
Our friend.
But this was, that's
friend
right.
Of family.
Rashawn Gary said this about signing Von Miller yesterday. Quote, today, beginning of the offseason, every move that the Cowboys did is they're serious about winning and winning right now. And that makes me think about what you just said is how long has it been since we felt like they had a coherent, non-reactionary plan? And it definitely feels like it's been a minute. So, will you indulge me in some defensive nerddom?
Do I have a choice?
Sure.
Okay. You know what, Kevin? I can't believe you. Yes. I will indulge in some math, but
really,
I'm assuming there's math.
Really would have broken my heart. That's true, but I did the math for you.
Okay.
All right. Last year, we all agree this defense was the worst. Okay? And again, they were only 32nd because there weren't more teams. Because they would have been at the end of that list of teams as well. So, 30.1 points per game allowed last year. That's 7.5 points more than the average.
Okay.
Think about that. They give up more than a touchdown extra than an average team. Last year, they were 7-9-1. Now, we're going to say 7-8-1 because you just didn't really care about the last game. And we'll discuss if maybe you didn't care about a couple of these games. So you're 7-8-1. Guess what happens if you just get to average? Two of those losses would be flipped to wins. One loss would be flipped to a tie. And then the tie you had would be flipped to a win. That's put you at 10-5-1 going into the final game of the season with the potential to win the division and being number three in the playoffs. And that's just if you get to average. That's not even factoring in special teams or anything like that. But let's take it a step further. So that sounds positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it a step further. What if you got to number 10 defensively? So I can say top 10, but I put it right at number 10. That would be almost 10 points per game fewer given up, 9.7 to be specific. If you got to number 10 defensively, that would put you last year at 11-4-1 with the potential to win the division and be the number two seed in the playoffs going into the last game.
11-4-1?
11-4-1.
Still didn't feel like as many wins as you should have, but that tie does get in the way.
Agreed.
And the tie goes to the runner.
And so, well, now you won the tie.
Right. Oh,
you
yeah.
You moved a new game into the tie that was a loss. But here's what I want you to consider with these numbers. how many games spiraled out of control because you just knew there was no chance you were going to win?
Yeah.
Like, look at the Bears game or look at the Broncos game. And I'm not here to argue that, like, you would have won those games, but I do wonder if you had an average or even, like, fringy top 10 defense, if that changes how your offense plays because they know that they're not screwed from the second drive of the game.
1,000%. I can take a risk if I want to, and I don't need these 3 points.
Yes.
Or I can take these 3 points because I know my defense can hold them and we're going to get 7 on the next drive because we saw something here. But I don't have to. You know, there's some different philosophy you can take there whenever you're being either too aggressive or not aggressive enough. Now, what I don't know is after Shoddy's first year, he's not Dan Campbell.
Right.
He's not just going to go for it on every time.
Sure.
But he did seem to be like, you know what? I'll go for it. And I feel like I got the plays drawn up to do it. I didn't love the moment, but he told us, I felt like I got beat against Green Bay.
I agreed with that.
And I changed my mind after the play, so we went with something else. Kevin, last year there were so many times, and you may have disagreed with me in each week about it, that I just felt like the offense changed some of their decision-making because they didn't trust the defense.
So I think you can look at the stretch in December, right? Like, if you go back in our counterfactual history, you win that game against the Eagles, though obviously that was on the offense just as much. You win that game against the Giants. Let's still say you lose against the Bears because you got hammered pretty good against them. Then you win against Green Bay, you win against the Jets, and you win against Carolina, and you already won that game against Washington. You were 3-3-1 at that point. I think you can make a very strong argument. You could have come out of that with even an average to slightly below average defense at 6-1. Do you still, at 6-1, get your head kicked in at Denver? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Are you still going to lose it against Arizona? Maybe you do, because that's what you do. But coming out of the bye, they look strong again because the defense did a better job of holding up their end of the bargain. So let's say if instead of 6-5-1, you're like 9-3. Do you walk into Detroit and see Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to go and think, well, we're going to lose? Not necessarily. Do you go into Minnesota and lose? Do you host Minnesota? Do you host the Chargers and get absolutely dusted? I'm not saying I can guarantee you win those games or anything like that, but it does make you wonder if at least one or two of those even could have been different.
You know, you talk about Rashawn Gary, and you've heard him talk about Dak too, right? And just how much of a leader they, like, Rashawn Gary's words came very clear of the best one I've ever been around.
And right.
I feel like whenever you talk about something like that, you say a dude whose personality just doesn't really change that much whenever things are up or down. Is that fair?
Yes.
Like a good leader's like, no, this is just what we do.
I agree.
And one of the things that you know you're always going to get, no matter how bad the defense was last year, was Dak and the offense were going to go out there and try and do their thing. But when you have a defense that goes out there and makes a play that you're like, only our defense can do that, it makes you that much more confident as an offense. And I'm not talking about the play caller. I'm talking about Pickens. He's just like, dude, did you see my dogs right there just go do that to you? Good luck. Now we're about to do that to you too. It heightens the level of cockiness that you can have. And when you don't have a little bit of arrogance and cockiness and belief in yourself that you can destroy somebody on the other side, you're going to go out there more timid. Kevin, go back and watch those Cowboys-Niners games when we were growing up and watch how much you hated the Niners because Merton Hanks would go out there and confidently intercept a pass and do his thing. And Merton knows that I have a different respect for him now after having face-to-face conversations with him. But I also told him, didn't I? Told him I didn't like him. He understood why. He was like, because we kept beating you. And I was like, okay, you should stop that, Merton.
But, oh, he knew.
Yeah, he knew. But remember how swaggy those teams were? And go look at the best teams out there right now. They know both sides of the ball are going to be better. My guys are going to beat your guys' ass. And then you know what? Then I get the ball. that's something that also changes and gives you a different confidence, not in just the way you do things, but the way that you feel about what the outcome of this game is actually going to be. And I think that's going to be a big factor.
And I did see somebody, and this is true, perhaps, is better defense flips the ball over to your offense more often. The counter I would have to that is you also got a bunch of gimme yards and points because your defense was so bad and you were allowed to just pile it in.
Yeah, and you don't. And now Cowboys against top 10 defenses, that's another conversation we probably need to look into and have that dive.
And I do get that until the first three quarters against the Vikings, you were looking great. You should have won both of those games against the Eagles, and they were also a top 10 defense. But it is true, against the Broncos and the Chargers, you sputtered out.
But when it comes to the defense flipping the ball back to you a little more often, doesn't necessarily mean you have to air it out on those series.
For sure.
In those possessions.
And honestly, it might mean less so, right?
Yeah. That's one of my concerns a little bit this year is if the Cowboys defense is what we're discussing here, then are we going to get as potent of a passing offense as they needed last year? From the 972, sorry boys, catching up on the last 30 minutes of the show on Odyssey, but Gambo had a Marte update. This is crazy. So I'm going to go.
All right.
Have you found the Marte update, Kevin?
I am looking at the Gambo Twitter update.
Gambo is all over it when it comes to Arizona sports.
It says, ooh, okay, the update I'm looking at is, why Marte has to come back to Arizona is a total mystery. He can easily have an MRI in the city he is in. Happens all the time. So the next step would be the thought that he went back to Arizona to get an MRI, even though they're like, every major league team has access to an MRI machine. We could have easily done it at the visiting ballpark. That certainly adds to the confusion and intrigue.
Are you looking at the second one, though?
What is the second one?
I'm sorry. I mean, this was 12 hours ago, so never mind. That's
okay.
Not an update. Yeah.
All right. But I don't know what's happening with that situation. And I think you would get more of a pass for other players. But since he had a weird situation like this last year, might not fly. And even his manager said this morning it was an emotional situation, but then added, I wasn't getting a whole lot coming back to me.
Mm.
In terms of information.
You hate that.
No, absolutely you do.
Because it can't help you make decisions.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Mr. Medford, will you give me cut number 6? Because there's a couple of other random things I wanted to talk to you fellas about.
Tiffany Hayes spots up. Let's go! Lead Valkyries their first of the game.
So, the Dallas Wings, they lost again. Now, I guess it's good news. They lost to the Golden State Valkyries, who are the best team, or certainly with Minnesota, one of the two best teams in the WNBA.
They got stuff, you know?
That's not the same, but actually we will kind of drift into that category in just a minute. But you also outscored them in the fourth quarter. Now, did you outscore them in the fourth quarter because the game felt like it was over? And in the second quarter, when the game was still on the line, you got outscored 24-9. Well, you know what? That's probably a fair point that people would make. Have you also lost, I believe, 7 of your last 9? Yes, that is also true. This is a team that is just limping along to the playoffs, and defense continues to be an issue. I know some people have started to focus in on Jessica Shepherd when it comes to that. I think the defensive issues of this team are far bigger than just that, but that certainly doesn't help. And man, on Wings Twitter, people despise the head coach.
Why?
But you can make an argument. People go to social media to write negative things and not positive things.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you, how often, Kevin, do you look and you go, okay, that's an egg? Even though we don't use eggs anymore on Twitter. When did that happen, Alec? When did they stop using the egg emoji or avatar?
We should have never stopped. Yeah. I kind of miss it.
Do you think it's because of the issues with the eggs and the FDA. And
I stuff. Loved responding to people and just throwing egg at the end of it, being like, "You're an egg. Show me your picture,
right?
And then we'll have a different conversation."
Shut
right
up,
now.
Egghead.
Yeah, egg.
Okay, all right. So this is something that has gotten the eggheads going. We'll say. Have you seen, and can you tell me what you think an over-under would be if Enes Kanter was in the WNBA? Because they put numbers on this for points per game and rebounds per game.
Honestly, like 30 and 15.
Ooh, okay. Medford, what say you? I didn't lines.
Some nights people get bored.
For sure.
So. I was thinking 20-20.
Well, you're both way, way too low.
Oh, jeez. Oh. 49 and 28.
That is too high on the points. You are close on the rebound.
Okay. Oh, no.
Points per game, they put Enes Kanter would average during the 2027 WNBA season 36.5 points per game and 25.5 rebounds per game. So just wanted to throw that into the world. Now, I
wonder if we get to see that, though. Would you watch? If he was doing that?
I would. I think it would be unfortunate if the league pushed it to that point where you're like, come on. Y'all could have squashed this. Like, they could have squashed it now! But they're like, oh, we have a meeting and a summit, and it's going to take months. I'm like, really? Months?
I love summits, though.
And I don't want to steal G-Bag's bit, but I'm looking at the clock, and I feel like we might have...
Let's give something away! Is that what you're calling for?
No, but we can do that right now. Is that G-Max bit giving stuff away? 877-811-1053. That is true. That is one of my go-tos. Caller number 10
now.
Will win a four-pack of tickets to go see the Rangers face off against the Angels on Saturday at Globe Life Field. The first 10,000 fans of Globe Life Field for the game will get a 1996 Rangers team baseball card button-down presented by Coca-Cola. You can buy tickets at Rangers.com, or you can see the G-Bag Nation at Globe Life Field today. Today, we'll be doing this giveaway all week long. 877-881-1053. That's right.
What about Wednesday?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Oh my gosh, I'm so off right now. Thursday?
Yeah, you know why you're off? Because you're not wearing a tank top. I know we'll get to that. But
fraud.
In the meantime, to actually steal a G-Bag bit, I'm looking at the clock.
Okay.
And I feel like we have... time for 60 seconds on soccer.
Yeah, almost exactly 60 seconds, too.
So, Christian.
There we go.
Yes! Cristiano Ronaldo has revealed his retirement plans. He said, this is probably going to be my last year. His contract runs through June of 2027 in Saudi Arabia, and so he hasn't said that's the definitive end, but he said, this is probably my last year of football, and I want to leave a spectacular legacy. We could talk more about that, or we can talk about scarves.
He has had a spectacular legacy.
Absolutely.
We compare him to Messi, and we, you know, get after that conversation, but compare him to everybody else that's ever played the game.
Yes, I think he comes up short in that comparison, but there is no question that Cristiano Ronaldo is one of the titans in the history of the sport, and certainly a titan in the history of sports money.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Now,
the part
ahead.
That he said also that he was like, and I want to have more fun, focus on having more fun.
Right.
You hate that dude's not having fun.
And did he just get married? Or he just got engaged? I think he got married. All right. Now let's talk about scarves that are also your season ticket. A second-tier French soccer club is using its own merchandise as an alternative for season tickets. Dijon FCO, the Burgundy club, who most recently competed in League One, they introduced team scarves that had special technology inside of them, the near field communication or NFC chips that would allow you to scan your scarf as your ticket when you go into the game and then whoop, just throw your scarf right back on.
And you like, I can't replicate this. Come on, dude. This sounds too easy to
replicate.
I mean,
people could replicate print tickets.
Yeah, but like this sounds sounds tough. Somebody just steals my scarf.
And now
they have my season ticket.
Yeah.
Look,
hopefully they have cameras. Cool. You can make an argument, but
this is a really cool idea. It really is something. Like, why not just inject it into my veins? You know, let me be the season ticket of some sort. But I do like the scarf idea.
You know what?
I'm not wearing a scarf.
I do not.
I don't live in. Kevin, you want me to wear a scarf in Texas?
No. And I do not think we're that far away from. You just like scan your hand or whatever.
Dude, I think at Whole Foods you can run your hand over something to pay. Pretty sure.
Too much of a gap between your hand over to pay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block.
And the level of concern.